This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning. Another week of The Gardening Show with the Master Gardener himself, Bob Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Igor.
Thanks so much for being here again.
You bet.
What a gorgeous day, a beautiful last couple days, actually.
Yeah.
I've been able to do a little bit around the yard, and it's looking better. Not quite there.
Okay.
Probably going to be another couple weeks before yeah. it's like there.
That's know, all right.
But it's good to work on and having a good time. What about you?
Yeah. Okay. yeah, I've been working on my yard quite a bit, and even the cemetery up at Oak Hill Cemetery.
Oh.
My wife does a lot of work up there as a volunteer. And of course, I'm a volunteer too because we're a team. So it just made me feel good. I worked on a plot of people that I don't know and probably never will know. But I dressed up their headstone in their area. And it's just a feel-good thing to do. Spent the whole day, as a matter of fact, up there.
Well, you know, on behalf of them who they can't tell you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
It's kind of a really neat place. There's a lot of old trees up there and old shrubs. You know, the one shrub that comes to my mind is, you know, as a lot of people know up on Oak Hill is the hydrangea. You know, that will be blooming in the fall. And some of them up there are very, very old. You know, a lot of them were planted in the late 1800s, as
wow.
a matter of fact.
That's neat.
So you're looking at some really old plant, old plants, and, you know, and they still look great.
You know what I like about cemeteries is that it's almost like time traveling.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Oak Hill, you know, the whole history of Bradford is up there. And met a lady taking a walk. She lives nearby, and she said she just tired of just walking around the house and thought she'd stroll through the cemetery. She said what she does from time to time. And what a beautiful stroll you can have there. You know, it's all walkable. There are some hills, but you can walk the lower road. That's all flat. And you can view all these old plants old trees, and even some of the real decorative headstones. So it's a pretty nice walk, and it's quiet up there.
Yeah,
very quiet. So it's a good place. Lots of wildlife. The birds singing everywhere. Neat place. But today I got to talk about some gardening here. A warning, you know, if you're going to hire somebody to do some work in your yard. You better get on the phone as soon as possible because all those guys will be filling up their schedule for the year. So if you want to get in there, make sure you get a hold of somebody right away here. Don't forget that. They're hard to come by. But also, don't forget that school kid, and it doesn't matter if it's a boy or girl, because you can develop a new friendship or teach a young person some very important skills and lessons. So don't forget that. Don't be a bummer and think all kids are bad. There's a lot of good ones out there. And through my career, I've had a chance to work with a lot of them. And believe me, there's a lot of good ones out there that really want to learn and want to be outside. And don't mind getting their hands dirty.
You know, the bad kids, they just need something to do a lot of times.
Sometimes,
right?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's probably how Bobby got his start. he wasn't the greatest kid. I didn't get into any big trouble, you know.
Mr. Matt, the pre-master gardener, what would you call that? The troublemaker,
yeah.
Bob Harris. Wow.
But I was lucky enough that people noticed that I mowed the lawn at home. And so they started calling me around town. The first one to call me was the funeral home in town. said, we lost our fella, and we see that you mow your dad and mom's lawn there, and thought maybe you would like to mow our lawn. Well, it just continued after mowing the lawn. I started doing some of their gardening work, and other people noticed because it was a very visible place. And the next place I got was the town hall.
Wow.
I started taking care of their yard, and it just kept going on and on from there. And that kind of started my love and my career for that kind of work. So
I just can't imagine you without the gray beard.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I've always known you.
Yeah, that started early in life.
Little young Bobby at the age of 14 with his big gray beard.
But, you can be developing the next young person. And not just if they're going to go into a career of it, but someday they're going to own a home. And instead of them paying Bobby to do their yard work, maybe you can teach them to do their own yard work, you know, which would be a good thing. And believe me, they'll remember you for the rest of their life, you know. Don't forget that, you know, you don't have to hire a professional all the time. Sometimes just hiring that neighborhood kid can be a huge benefit.
And cheaper.
And cheaper, yeah. Okay. Also, pick up your supplies for this gardening year early because, again, you know, it's been a few years now that supplies goes fast and we run out. The whole supply chain just hasn't caught up yet. So if you're going to get that peat moss and your plants and your mulch and all that stuff, pick it up early so you will have it.
It might almost be too late. I mean, everybody has the same idea on Memorial Day weekend, the official start of, or not the unofficial start of summer.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Now, plant wise, you know, we're lucky we have Graham's Greenhouse here in town, and Proper's also too. So they'll be resupplied, you know, from time to time. Graham's like once a week even. So if you don't see the particular plant you're looking for this week, it may be in next week. So don't get real concerned about there, but be a little concerned, though.
Don't wait too long anyway, is what he's saying.
Yeah, indeed. One thing I wanted to hint, you know, because we're starting to be outdoors quite a bit, and not just us coming to life because it's nice out, but all the animals and insects, too. So one thing I've always liked to do, because everybody in Bradford has trouble with ants. Ants are tough, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of different ways to get rid of them. And one way is ants really dislike citrus. Anything citrus. And my grandma taught me this a long time ago, that if you spray lemon pledge around your doorway or those windows that may have a little bit of leak in them, the ants will stay away from those areas and not enter your house that way. But you can use the lemon pledge or anything citrusy, even the orange cleaners. The ants really dislike that. Now, if you're going to put out the ant poisons, remember that ants have a short lifespan and they can mutate quite quickly. A lot of the living creatures can mutate, but ants do it quite quickly. So if you're using one kind of ant poison for a long period of time, eventually those ants will be able to accept that and use it as a food rather than a poison. So always change out from time to time your ant poison. Don't just use that taro all the time. That's a good one. But go to some of the other ant killers.
Wow. That's really neat how just nature can figure that out.
Yeah, like, it is indeed. It is. It's now, amazing.
But how like after a couple weeks, a couple months?
Yeah, a couple months. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. At least once a year, change it out.
Oh, okay.
So they can't mutate and adapt.
Their future generations become
yeah,
accustomed to it, accustomed and more tolerant. To it. And then And then, you, like you said, you're feeding them then.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
That's incredible.
So keep that in mind, you know, and keep a lookout for the ants and all those other things. Same with mice, you know, they can mice and chipmunks and so on. If you're one of those persons, I used to be, that puts out the poison to eradicate. I want mm-hmm. to use a better term. Those little critters. Remember that a lot of those poisons.
Murder.
Huh?
You're eradicate. I'll just let's put it out there. You're going to murder them.
I guess.
Sorry.
My wife used to laugh at me because she worked in medicine for a lot of years. And at that time, I had a lot of clover. This many years ago, I had a lot of clover in my yard. And so finally one day, you know, I'd really get upset because, geez, how come I can't get rid of all these mice? And she said, you know, the medicine that we use to combat poison is in clover. Vitamin K. So as you're poisoning them, they're going out there and eating a little clover, and now that poison
they're getting
is,
an antidote.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Oh, that's great.
So that's one reason to get rid of clover in your yard.
Yeah, sure.
It's one of the reasons, yeah. But I got off track here.
Talking about ants.
Yeah.
Talking about... murdering small woodland creatures.
Yes, yeah.
Mice and, you know, I don't put the poison out anymore because it's just too risky that they would, either the dogs would get into it, but I got chickens and
yeah.
Not only just the poison, but then if the animals go somewhere and die, then
yeah.
You got to worry about
true.
Animals eating, you
yeah.
know, a tainted
that's true.
Poisoned
that's very true.
Animal. So, yeah,
so,
careful
yeah.
with that.
Think
yeah.
long and hard before
yeah.
before you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all a good thing to think about. Another thing I wanted to remind you, I think I touched on a little bit a few weeks ago, is, you know, getting your mower and all your tools ready. And with your mowers, you know, the ethanol gas is not good for your mowers. They're not, those engines aren't built like the engines in your car. That the ones in your car can accept that ethanol gas. But mowers really dislike it. So it costs a little bit more, but get the ethanol-free free gas for your lawnmowers, and you'll be much happier that way. They'll last a lot longer. They'll run a lot better. They'll start easier. So keep that in mind, the ethanol-free gas for your lawn equipment.
So, like, what about, like, just a higher grade, the
no.
octane? No?
No. No, that won't help at all.
Okay.
Yeah, it still has the ethanol in it. And it chemically does something, you know. It's a long, drawn-out process that can really foul up your mower, you know, and nothing more aggravating than going out there and pulling your pull cord for 20 times and it still won't start.
Yeah.
So, be aware that... to pay a little bit more and get that ethanol-free gas, and your mower will run and start a lot easier.
I never even pay attention to what has ethanol and what doesn't.
Yeah.
Is there even a choice
at yes.
most
yeah,
gas
there
stations?
Is. There is, yeah.
Is there like a special pump for it or something?
No, it's usually at every pump, and it'll say ethanol-free.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's and it's there's I don't think there's a rating like the ethanol gas has 87 octane, 89, 90, something like that. But the ethanol-free will be a different color on the pump, and it'll clearly say ethanol-free. So that's a real good thing to keep in mind. Don't injure your lawnmower by...
Yeah, save be kind.
Yeah.
Save a lawnmower this season. We have to take a short break.
Okay, good.
Now, I want to remind you that the phone lines are open. So give us a call, 814-368-9372, and speak of the devil. We have a phone call coming in, and now they're gone, but that's all right.
Oops.
They'll call back because they heard that we're going to take a break. So hopefully they'll call back. But, yeah, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. If you have a question for Bob, please give us a phone call, and we'll be right back with The Gardening Show right here on WESB, B107.5 FM.
Spring has sprung. Time to get your gardening underway with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Start with their big selection of garden seeds and fertilizers to grow all your favorite vegetables and flowers. Build attractive planting beds and landscape edging with railroad ties from Worth Smith. Dress it up with the popular black pearl mulch and add bags of landscape stone and pavers to finish it off. You'll be the envy of your neighborhood. It's time to get started. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And welcome back to The Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM. We're streaming on, we're on Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB107.5. And we're also going to be on demand. You can hear every show from this season or last season or the before season. We have them all up there at WESB.com under the Listen tab. And you can hear all of our shows.
Great.
So what else is on the agenda today to talk about, Bob?
Preparing your vegetable garden. A lot of people, you have a lot of different choices. You know, it's popular now to do no-till or just pitchforking or potato forking it, turning your soil over. Or, the way I still prefer is rototilling. To get the soil really blended and aerated, I call it, by rototilling, or even just forking it over, shoveling, spading, whatever you want to call it. You're introducing a lot of oxygen into the soil and turning that top layer over that may have a lot of nutrients in it and get it down into the root zone. So if you're going to grow, my suggestion, and it's not everybody's, but mine. If you're going to grow a lot of root crops like potatoes and carrots and so on, that probably want to till. You want loose soil so that those root crops have a better chance of producing a bigger, better crop. If you don't till, and plant carrots, they'll be short and chubby. They won't really grow long. They may even be formed weird, if you have hard soil. So if you're going to grow a lot of root crops, I highly suggest tilling the soil. But don't over-till. I know a lot of us, and I've been one of them too, that like to go over the garden two or three times with a rototiller, trying to mix it up into a fine soil. Now, that's not always good. As a matter of fact, it can be quite bad.
Really?
Yes, because after a few rains, all that fine soil starts to settle and become hard.
Right.
So when you do till, probably just go over it once and just to loosen it up. If you still have a few clumps, that's fine. That's air spaces. And probably everybody's heard me say, plants need air as much as they need water. That's extremely important to them. So keep that in mind. And if you have wet soil, one of the tricks I always like to do, because if you try to till wet soil, it gets real clumpy. And then when those clumps dry out, they turn into little bricks. Oh. So if your soil is real wet, add a lot of peat moss to it. Then start tilling. That peat moss is dry. It absorbs the water and starts to loosen up that soil so that you can till that wet soil. And it'll stay loose the rest of the season then too for you. So that's a hint there. But always try to add something to your soil every year, whether it be peat moss. That's my always go-to. Or compost, old grass clippings, old leaves. They're all good. They're very good for your soil. Because in order to feed the plant, they say you got to feed the soil. And so it's all tied together.
Hey, we have a phone call. Let's go over here and... Hi, good morning. You're on The Gardening Show.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Question for above-ground garden boxes for vegetables. how deep do you need to make your soil? I've been using just button soil in the bags like at Walmart and such. How deep or what is the minimum depth I need to get your average tomato plants, pepper plants, cucumbers and such to grow in?
Okay, that's a good question. You know, and it's going to depend. You know, if you're just growing onions and lettuce, you only need like 6 inches of soil. But if you're going to grow the bigger plants, like squash or tomatoes, you're going to want deeper. So try to get, a foot of soil in there, because those plants will, they need that deeper soil because they have massive root systems. And that deeper soil holds more water, so the plant will need a lot less watering in the long run. So try to get about a foot for the big plants and maybe 6 inches for just that little lettuce garden or onion garden, some of those smaller crops like that.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And that's a good question.
Thank you so much for calling the show. Have a great weekend.
Because it has become more and more popular every year of container gardening. And a lot of different containers work real well. I have a buddy that grows all his tomatoes in 5-gallon buckets, and they're fabulous. He grows better tomatoes than I do in my garden. But he also grows a lot of lettuce, and he puts those just in little window boxes,
mm-hmm.
and onions in them, and they do very, very well in that small amount of soil. But one thing to keep in mind, if you don't really want to water a lot, buy the bag soil for those containers. It's water retentive, and make it as deep as you possibly can. So the more volume of soil, the more volume of water that it'll hold. So you have to water a lot less that way too.
Mm-hmm.
And also if you really dislike watering your plants every now and then.
Get another hobby. No.
In those containers, maybe you put a little bit of mulch around them.
Oh, yeah.
And that will protect that top layer of soil from evaporation from the sun, and that water will last a lot longer. And there's other little methods you can do, too.
And if you really hate watering, just make your garden a cactus garden.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
That's just part of gardening is you're going to have to water. You know, and it's a good thing, too, because you got to water. So you're really going to be inspecting your plants so that you can catch any problem early or yeah.
Yeah, you have to be out there to water, so may as well observe what's going on and fix any problem areas.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. So to talk a little bit more about container gardening, everybody can have a container garden. They can fit anywhere, decks, patios, out in the – I even like to put some containers right in my vegetable garden. I like to grow squash, and that creeps all over the garden. So in order to get an extra plant, I'll put a pot there that'll allow me to plant another plant above the squash creeping all through. So I can use that space for double duty that way. It works real well.
You know, if I had to do it again, instead of the raised beds that we built, I would do containers, I think.
Containers?
Yeah, just because you could I don't know. It seems like you can move them around if you need to,
yep.
Or, it just seems easier somehow. Yeah.
And you can even
make my neighbor does the containers. And,
yeah.
And he has great success.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can. Especially if you replenish the soil every year. Don't reuse the old soil in the container because the last year's plant has consumed all the nutrients in it and may have even collected some fungus disease or insect problem. So try to dump them out and put fresh soil in. You may not have to do the whole container, but at least that top foot, put fresh soil in so that plant has a good start with all fresh soil and no weed seeds, no diseases.
What do you do with all the old soil?
I put that into the compost pile.
Mm.
Or just dump it into the in-ground vegetable garden late in the fall, so it goes through the winter. Usually that'll kill off any disease because it's sitting right on top. So that freeze-thaw cycle is going to kill off any disease or insects or weed seeds that may have been there.
Yeah, a good idea.
And there's a lot of good bag soils out there. Use them in those containers because they're important. A container is a whole lot different than in the ground. Containers can dry out much quicker. Mm-hmm. And so you'll see that container soil is a bit different. Really, to tell you the truth, there really is no soil in container soil. Even that sounds weird. it's basically peat moss and bark and compost all mixed together with those little white pellets. That's perlite. That's for aerating. That leaves air spaces in the soil. So it's harder to overwater because that's the number one way to destroy a plant is overwatering. We've all done that. In a container, don't use your garden soil. Use potting soil. It's extremely important. You'll be a lot more successful. Yeah, I know it costs a bit more, but, you know, the benefits you're going to get out of it is well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about the benefits.
Okay.
A little bit.
We have about 3 minutes left
in the
show. Yeah, that's enough, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the benefits.
So that lettuce you buy in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Most of it's grown out in California. In huge fields where they've been growing lettuce for decades and decades. And in order for that lettuce to grow quickly and for them, they have to apply 600 pounds per acre of chemicals, mm-hmm. whether it be fertilizer, fungicides, insecticides. So plant is going to absorb some of that. So eventually you're going to absorb some of that too. And a lot of the nutrition in it, because they fertilize the bejeepers out of that stuff, it doesn't give the plant enough time to really develop a lot of nutrition in it. They call it bricks, the amount of bricks in a leaf of lettuce.
Mm.
Now, the one you grow in your vegetable garden or your container garden is going to be different because you're not going to be adding all those chemicals. And you're probably not going to be over-fertilizing it. So it's going to have a chance to absorb all those nutrients in the soil and then, of course, pass them on to you. As a matter of fact, tests have been run by tomatoes. The one tomato that you grow at home is worth five tomatoes you're going to buy in a store. Or that one leaf of lettuce that you grow at home is worth 10 leaves of the lettuce that you bought at the store. I have nothing against grocery stores. Nothing
right.
at all.
Yeah, it's just
But when you have a chance to grow a healthier food,
mm-hmm.
then you should take advantage of it. And again, all it takes is a small container to do these. You don't have to have that big 20-foot by 20-foot garden space. Just a few pots or a nice wooden box or a tub of any sort with drainage. Don't forget drainage in all them. Can really give you a good, nutritious food that you can take some pride in.
Now, I tried to grow lettuce, and it was very tart.
Tart?
What did I do wrong?
Oh, boy. You may have waited too long to harvest it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because all lettuce, you know, you want to harvest it when it's young. And lettuce will regrow. You can cut it, and it'll regrow again 2 to 3 times.
See, I was looking, it's like, wow, if I cut it now, then, well, it's still going to get bigger. It kept getting bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah, and then it will turn tart.
Well, there you go. Yes. Okay.
Yes, as it gets older. So we want to, some of those vegetables, we want to harvest them when they're young, when they're really nice and young.
Okay, we're all out of time for today. Next week, shall we?
Yep, you betcha.
Okay, same time, same channel. We'll be right back next week at 8:30 right here on B107.5 FM. And thanks so much to our sponsor, Worth W. Smith Hardware. And have a fantastic Memorial Day.
Thank you.